Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
The United States will provide at least 15 billion cubic meters more gas to Europe this year. Meanwhile, US markets are pretty stable on high levels. What's going on Wall Street? This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Iddine Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Hello, great. Hi, guys.
Peter, we see the US and Europe are pretty strong together, and now the US is delivering more gas to Europe. Is the US economy in a pretty good shape?
You know what? It's a look. It seems to be. I mean, the market. Look, let's be clear. After we had an incredibly rough beginning to the year, I believe one of the worst beginnings. And Salah is our historic maven here in the group. But apparently, one of the worst beginnings of a year since 1927. Yet, and with all the unfortunate confrontation with Russia and Ukraine and Europe and whatever's happening globally with China and whatnot, we are still only 6% off the record highs in the market, right? And so taking into account all of that with interest rate raises, taper, supply chain, inflation, and a war that could get a lot worse before it gets better, that's not a bad showing. The economy seems to be okay. We are sort of coming out of a pandemic. We are hoping that this new variant is not going to come back and slam us, although I know it's spreading in Europe and clearly in China. However, we've seen earnings have been reasonable. We obviously have some labor issues. There are some employment issues, and they're not they're problematic in their own way. It's sort of an underemployment, right? I mean, we had one of the best numbers come out the other day unemployment requests by the community here is down 181,000 people and whatnot. So there are signs that the economy is starting to stabilize. However, let's be clear, though, this inflation story, the higher prices that we're paying for oil, combated by the situation in Ukraine and Russia, is obviously going to cause some stumbles and some headwinds into the marketplace and the economy, right? I mean, you're hearing people complaining about $4.65 for gasoline on their car, and I would imagine a majority of the population have trouble affording that. The price of consumer goods is going up. The price of services and commodities are going up. So while the economy feels like it's stabilizing to a certain extent, I think the inflation issues are clearly going to be controversial at best, and surely an impediment to some growth coming into the end of the year. We're seeing, I'll go with that.
Salah, you brought us the chart of the week, and you are talking about rotation out of growth into value stocks. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is a nice, actually, illustration in this chart showing us there is a really rotation going on and we might see a trend reversal. What I did actually is really easy. I created a ratio chart. So I took the Russell 3000, but I took actually the Russell 3000 growth index and I divided this this index with the Russell 3000 value. So you get a ratio. And if you look on this ratio, we are creating a double top. A double top is also used in technical analysis. So you can see, you can use technical analysis also analyzing, for example, ratio charts. And we see that we are creating a double, or formed a double top, which means there might be a reversal coming. And so this means for me, rotation is already started. And we might see with more increasing rates and other factors that we might go heading to this value stocks. Which value stocks? Okay, this will be the $100,000 question in this year. And we need stock pickers and sector pickers will definitely look on this on a specific way. We're going to do this as well.
Guys, it's important to note that when you talk about one of the biggest effects that raising interest rates has on the marketplace is with the high growth stocks. We saw that in the beginning of the year, even though this taper and the interest rate raise has been on the menu for already a whole quarter, the end of last year, coming into this year, we saw that finally the market started to engage it. It had been in a bit of denial about it. right? And so when you see that, you started to see probably at the beginning of the year, if we look at the mid-January, NASDAQ tech sector was down 14%. We saw things sort of bottom out at the January 24th level. And that was, I think, probably what you're describing, which was the beginning of this rotation. Look, growth stocks need free money to grow. That is their bread and butter. And when you have zero interest rates for a prolonged period of time, they are the ones that catalyzed the rally, the bull market that we saw besides the stimulus package from 2020 until now. And they are going to be the ones that are the leading indicators on any kind of a sell-off that we've seen since the beginning of 2022. So there is going to be a rotation. People are going to position themselves, and the one stocks, the group of stocks and the sector which tends to get rotated out of are the high growth names within a higher interest rate environment. And so that's what we're seeing, right? And people are going to position themselves. We've seen in this marketplace, but I've talked about it with you guys before, that what is amazing to me is to watch these intraday reversals of the marketplace. We saw them a number of weeks ago where we had, like, on at 11:15 on a Tuesday, market was down 174 handles in the S&P 500. And then by the end of the day, we were up 13 handles. So there are huge outflows and huge inflows. And people who don't have experience, who are not mature traders with experience in the marketplace, must be looking at this and trying to understand, even as I am, forever a student of the market, who's doing what here? Is it retailers sort of freaking out that the market seems to no longer be on this ascent to stardom and they're selling it and the smart money institutional guys are buying it? Is it the institutional guys rotating out of high growth and selling it, and the retail guys trying to pick a bottom and be buying the dip? Who's doing what to who? But all I know is that trillions of dollars of outflows are going out. Trillions of dollars of outflow are going in. We are seeing it even on days that are not these huge intraday reversals. We are seeing a market that one day is up 600. Look, we are talking here on a Monday, right? We have seen over the last couple of weeks, we had 10 weeks down with a lot of movement, one day up 600, one day down 600, a lot of days of intraday reversals, which is huge outflows and huge inflows. Then we saw last week, we saw the week before a week where we had finally the end of the quarter where you had a up 6% in the marketplace. What did that represent, right? Let's analyze that. It's very important to note. 10 weeks down, coming into the end of the year with the S&P rebalance, coming to the end of the quarter, coming to the quad, which we saw the market go up 6%. Well, what was that? Was that window dressing? Was that hedge fund guys trying to mark up their positions because they had had such a ruthless quarter? Mm-hmm. Or was that, basically a short-term oversold situation? I'm sure Salah would address that, him being the technician that he is, from a short-term oversold position. I believe that last week that we saw when we were up 6% was a lot of people going, you know what? The last thing people want to do is miss the bottom again, right? There are people still scratching their heads that they missed the low of March 23rd, 2020, and they don't want to ever happen again. So it was a little bit of that oversold, short-term oversold position. It was a little bit of a FOMO, right? Everybody started to buy. The market came off its bottom, right? It sort of popped off the mat, and then you had a lot of enthusiasm in the marketplace.
And guys, let's also talk about tech stocks. The EU targets US tech giants with a new rule book. Peter and Salah, more pressure for the big tech companies?
I will defer to Salah on that question.
We have other problems actually in this environment, market environment, than this. But I think they will have bargaining conditions that way, that they will find the middle way, I guess, to fight. Actually, some things went wrong, definitely. And you need a rule book to actually have a more sense of compliant way to use data, especially, I think you mean companies who are in social media, I mean, Facebook or other companies that are falling under this rule. I mean, it's a tough regulation, and we need to look how it will work out for the clients, because it can harm you as well, and of course for the companies. and how, I mean, this rule book, to be honest, you need a worldwide, we are digital companies, internet. I mean, if you create regional rules, I think it's much better to think in a worldwide view, to have a world rule, which is always difficult, of course. Saying it is easy, but applying it is much more difficult. I think this is a rather better way as to have 1,000 regional rule books, which will be also inefficient for me. If I have a company, this increases a lot of costs, a lot of issues that I have to deal with. If you have 180 regions with rule books, how I need to apply on them.
You know what? Look, I think it brings to mind for me globalization, right? And it was a curious, I'm not sure who it was, one of the heads of one of the companies said that they really believe that this confrontation with Ukraine and Russia is going to be an end of a 30-year period of globalization, right? That we are really going to, that this confrontation is going to fracture economies and fracture populations for many, many generations to come. Let's be clear, guys. I mean, you know, this is the gorilla in the room that we are not discussing, right? I mean, it's, you know, you guys are in Germany, you are in Amsterdam, I am in the United States. The G7, the leaders of NATO are meeting in Europe. We are in the midst. We need to address this. Right. I mean, first of all, we need to address it, to send all our prayers and love to everybody in Ukraine, because obviously there's a maniac who's attempting to take over the world, as one did back in 1939. And he's decimating a whole nation, which is absolutely inexcusable. But we are coming out of, and I think this is going to throw a bit of a wrench in any attempt of the world trying to look beyond the pandemic. What we have, things are never going to be the same once again. I wasn't clear we were ever going to get back to any kind of normalcy after the pandemic to begin with. But now we are still looking. Can you imagine? We've been waiting anxiously for the pandemic to be over so we could get back to business as usual. And now we are in the midst of a potential nuclear confrontation with the first, second and third largest nations in the world. Right. But let's be clear, you guys, we talk about markets, we talk about economies, and sometimes I feel like, you know, there's a lack of sensitivity in our discussion when we're talking about money and markets, while people are streaming across the borders and people have lost their lives and whatnot. But let's be clear, we're here to talk about markets. However, I think that we've seen this confrontation affect the markets and the globalization in a huge way. We have oil going to $130 a barrel. We've got Saudi Arabia sort of quiet on this front. We've got the U.S. reaching out to Venezuela, our other, you know, complete enemies, trying to figure out what to do. You started the conversation when we talk about natural gas. Obviously, the U.S. and our allies are going to have to support each other when we've cut off the purchase of oil from Russia, trying to isolate them to get this war to be over. We are going to have to figure out how the energy sector is going to work. I mean, we're not going to be able to snap our fingers and go to a solar world or a more climate friendly world. We still are huge consumers of oil and gas, and we're going to have to figure that out. We're going to have to get on board. Right now, NATO is meeting. My fear, to be perfectly honest, is that I think things are going to get worse before they get better, right? I think we may end up, whether it's a chemical war or whether it's a nuclear war, something unfortunate is going to happen in our future, and I hope it doesn't happen before we guys meet again. However, we need to understand that our reliance on oil, our reliance on Russia, our reliance on our globalization and our economies, it makes us very aware that our economies, whether it's China, Russia, United States, NATO allies and whatnot, whether it's oil dependency on oil and gas and whatnot, our economies and our worlds are so interrelated that, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen going forward. But it's going to clearly affect the markets. It's going to clearly affect the world in a big way. It's clearly affecting the energy sector. Right. And that's that. I think what we're going to watch unfold over the next number of months, we are clearly suddenly, let's talk about the Fed, Manuel. It should be perhaps our next question, but let's address how that's going to affect what's going on forward.
Yeah, what's clearly affecting the markets always is the Fed. Peter, you already mentioned it. And I think, is the Fed really data-driven, or are they trying to catch the timing card? So timing is always difficult for me as a trader. I am not relying on timing, rather on risk and money management. So do you can get, as a data-driven decider, can you have a good timing for that?
You know what? Look, I'm a fan of Jay Powell. I think he's been transparent and he's done the best he can. And when there are a lot of people in this country who are naysayers about Jerome Powell and the way he's handled the situation, and I think that is really sort of shoulda, woulda, coulda perception, because I'm a firm believer if we had not looked at people who say, oh, we printed money, that's what caused inflation, we shouldn't have done it, and la, 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 la. To be perfectly honest, guys, I think we forget to understand where we were. Right. Today is the day that 2 years ago I got COVID, and I was watching some videos of me getting sick from 2 years ago. I think we tend to forget very quickly of where we were 2 years ago. And if we did not do the stimulus we had, if we did not print the money we needed to do, we would all be on bread lines now. If the world had not responded and the U.S. Federal Reserve had not responded the way they did when COVID hit, in that a fantastic, huge, aggressive approach of stimulus and support of companies globally and the United States and individuals and people through stimulus, I think we'd be in a worse situation we are. All that being said, right now we are in 2022. We are coming into we're end of the first quarter here. We are looking towards interest rates and how they are going to be. They'll look, whether it's Jamie Dimon or the other CEOs of the large brokerage firms and companies in the United States. The prediction is we just had a 25 basis point move, the first raise we've had in many, many years. We are now, look, we were, before the war started, we were looking at a 50 basis point move as the first one in March. I think they tampered that down to 25 because they always say they are data driven. Their fear after the first 10 weeks of 2022, having been as down as they were and fractured and fragile in the marketplace as they were, I think that they did that just to sort of test the waters. They did not want to do a shock and awe on interest rates with a market that seemed like on any given day we could sell off 1,000 points, as we saw for the first 10 weeks of the year. That being said, as we closed out the end of the first quarter a couple of weeks ago, we did see a 6% rally in the market. What was that a function of? Was that a function of window dressing coming into the end of the quarter? Was that a function of a lot of buying the dip mentality, that we were short-term oversold and that people did not want a fear of missing out coming into the end of the quarter? What ended up happening was that 1 week after 10 weeks of down, that 1 week of a rally, we came out of that last week with Jerome Powell coming in on a Monday and a Tuesday with a little bit of a shock and awe, going, you know what? We've addressed the situation. We've seen the market can handle it. And we are now going to have the next two interest rate raises are going to be 50 basis points, or shock and awe out of the gate. And I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a believer in ripping the Band-Aid off. I'm a believer that markets can handle anything as long as there's no anxiety and anticipation. I believe the market may have a short-term, immediate negative reaction to a 50-basis-point move. But at the end of the day, it's really a matter of, why are we going to prolong this? It's on the menu. We know it's going to happen. Let the markets even themselves out. They have an amazing way of doing that. And let's just go forward and do what we got to do.
And we will always talk about it in different shows. So guys, thank you so much for this time. Appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. It's a great time to be alive. And I wish all the best to everybody in Europe.
Thank you, Peter.
Right now is always the best time to be alive. So thank you guys, and thank you for watching the IG Trading Talk. More information on IG.com. Thank you so much and take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.